Blog Talk Radio.
Pushing 108 fever because apparently you're boiling the brain cells in there, brother. Oh, man. If anybody's in the Chicago area driving an ambulance, please swing by and grab Matt. And I implore you, use the biggest damn rectal thermometer you have just to make sure that he's just not running a fever.
I don't know if you want to mess with that area. I mean, inside of that bus might be not too nice. I didn't say I'm having stomach issues.
Oh, well, there's a mental image I didn't need for the main thing.
Yeah, there you go. And see, it was going to start off and just go in a great, great direction. I do have to say, give a couple shout-outs first, but so what did you do this weekend?
Well, let's see. I worked. I played in the sun, working in the sun. Talked to my daughter. Scheduled my departure time, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'll probably bug out a little early tonight. I've got to be up at like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning because I am driving about 500 miles overnight, going up to Connecticut to see my daughter and also to be there for a very special occasion for my son-in-law. And I'm going to give him a major shout-out right now. Electrician's mate first class, Jonathan Woodward, just signed his papers today to do a 6-year reenlistment. He's already been in 7, so congratulations, son. Thank you for what you do.
Yeah,
we'll actually have a – yeah, they'll be doing a ceremony, I believe it's Friday. He's assigned to a submarine up there, and I'm not sure if I can – well, I guess I can say the name of the submarine, but he's assigned to USS California, which is actually – pretty sweet. He is the, I guess they call him a nuke. All I know is he has something to do with the electrical system and the nuclear power system. That's kind of cool. And at his age, I didn't know my ass from canal water. So congratulations, son. I'm very proud of you. Also, just for those that actually give a crap, I will not be on air with you Wednesday night, Matt, when you do Full Spectrum. Hopefully you are feeling better.
Oh, yes, I'm hoping that more than you.
I love you like a brother, man. I hope you're feeling better, but I will be still in Connecticut. I will leave you with a specific set of an announcement to make, but it can't be made in advance. How's that?
Yes, and Dennis and I have discussed it, and it's definitely something that you're going to want to hear. And as I'm sitting there on Wednesday night doing our normal Full Spectrum Radio, I am going to be sending cursing vibes to you because of how damn jealous I am of what this is. And I wish that I didn't know, and I just happened to get a text from you saying, hey, guess what I'm doing? But,
it's a once-in-a-lifetime gig.
And but probably can't bring your cell phone where you're going either, so.
Say it again?
Said you probably can't bring your cell phone where you're going either.
I think I can take my phone with me, but I'm not thinking it's going to do me a shit's bit of good. Something tells me they haven't put towers anywhere near where I will be.
If they do, that's crazy. That's Verizon just going way too far.
Yeah, well, they need to step up their game. That's for damn sure.
Yeah. Well, a couple of announcements that I have real quick. I do want to welcome Sandy White to the CPR family. Amazing, psychic medium, sweet as can be woman. Definitely, definitely appreciate her joining our little group that we got going on. And I mean, she has some amazing thoughts, ideas, just everything. And it's highly, highly, highly just Wow, I'm extremely excited and happy to have her as part of the family.
Yeah, she's definitely great to talk to. I've spoken with her on numerous occasions. We actually had her on the show the other week. Just an absolute, I love I can't even think of it. What's my word? Come up with it. Dialect, accent, that's the word. Now, I reckon if I were to say it like Sandy would, it would be an accent. It's an accent.
Yeah, and
but,
for people who know her on Facebook but haven't actually spoke to her or talked to her, when you see that she's from Pittsburgh, she's straight from Alabama.
And
so,
you can tell.
Yeah, and her accent is great. It's infectious, actually. Like, I just so awesome to talk to. And just because, like, I think, not that she doesn't, this is going to sound bad, but my brain isn't functioning because I think I vomited it out a little while ago.
There's a lovely picture. Now, we're talking about your brain, and you said you were having stomach problems, so never mind. I won't burden people with that mental image that just came to my mind, but I was wondering which end your brain came out of.
I was going to say, because you always tell me my head's up my ass, so I assume that that's where you were going with that.
Something like that.
Well, just to add a little bit of what?
Well, here you are feeling down and feeling ill, and, you know, here's me being the kind and loving co-host and brother I am and taking advantage of every moment of it like a gazelle that's down and the lions pounce on it. Because you'd do the same to me. You know you would.
Yeah, this is true. That's why we love each other. but not to... Since I know and I can be jealous of what you have going on for this next week, I can tell you what I got to do on Saturday that would definitely make you jealous is Saturday after work, got out and got to go to a film festival for our dear friends David Scott and John Stevens.
I saw the post on that.
They were showing a piece that they had just done and David did in a week, which he'll be releasing soon. I'm not even going to announce the name of it, but it's a great, great, great short. Phenomenal model and actress, Adita Rink, was there also at it, and she was one of the people that was in the film. There's a couple other people that were there that were doing... showing little pieces and stuff. I have some great films that are coming out. There's one that's going to be showing in Movie Co. that's here in Downers Grove, only at that location. But it's two independent guys that did a really, really cool film. And they didn't show the film. They showed the trailer to the film. Real twisted, just whack stuff, and that's what makes it really, really cool. They had some great camera angles, great stuff. And I don't happen to remember off the top of my head what the name of their film specifically is, but that was great. Ursula Bielski, dear, dear friend, was there. She was there with Carl, actually. Len Dorman, just like the whole Chicago area crew was there. And another person of the Chicago area crew that joined us was Christopher Fleming. So got to hang out with him. He showed a short that he had done and also was being pitched with Animal Planet for a show that legally I cannot say the name of. And also he would kick my ass because it was shot, filmed, great, great, amazing job. And then come to find out, they don't know if it's going to be aired. So, but Chris is working on some just phenomenal projects. So, got to keep an eye out for that. yeah, it was just great to get together with everybody and talk to him. And I've talked to Chris a bunch of times, but I never actually physically met him in person. And he lives in Schaumburg, Illinois, like 25 minutes from me. So, yeah, so that's what I got to do on Saturday.
Yeah, let's see, Saturday. Oh, well, I got to hang out with my two nieces, Hope and her sister, and their mother went to play cards, so the two nieces hung out with me, Allison and Harley. We had an absolute blast. I took them out to dinner, and I got a fantastic little story for you about dinner. Now, I'm not just wide open on the air, folks. I'm a little wide open in public, too. I had the two girls laughing so hard, I thought Allison was going to end up, like, snorting a lo mein noodle out her nose. To the point that I actually had to cover my drink just for fear. All I kept picturing was, like, oh, God, what was that movie, Tremors, where the big worms keep coming up out of the ground?
Yeah.
That's what I kept picturing. But there's this little kid, probably 5 years old, walking beside his dad, and he's got a little plate in his hands, and he's got four big cubes of Jell-O in it. And the little guy stumbled on a ramp that goes from one room into the next. We went to a Chinese buffet. The little boy just launches into this hysterical, ear-piercing, wine-glass-shattering squeal, turns away from his dad, and I cracked up laughing. Well, of course, because I crack up, then the girls crack up. And then the kid turned and looked at his dad with the meanest look in the world, like, I will slice a bitch, take my Jell-O. And he turned his shoulders to him and everything. I just kept picturing this kid jumping off a table, leaping, doing some little ninja kick and snatching dad's face right off, man. I'm like, whoa, good Lord, that kid must like his Jell-O. But needless to say, I failed to speak quietly. It was quite interesting. But poor girls, I don't think they'll ever want to go out with me for dinner again.
I can't imagine why.
By the time I was done, both of them had tears rolling down their faces. And Terry, my dear friend of nearly 20 years, says you never could whisper. Boy, ain't that the damn truth. I can't tell you how many times my whisper has had heads turned 3 and 4 tables away.
Hi, Terry.
But, yeah, it was definitely an entertaining dinner. But who knows what's going to come out of my mouth, not only on air, but live in person, out to dinner. It doesn't matter. I'm just kind of an ass that way, I suppose. But I will say this, never a dull moment.
This is not fun, man. This is just not fun.
I'm sorry you feel bad, man, but I know why you're sick. I saw your post the other night. You're sitting out on some little, probably little bistro balcony or something in the cool evening air, probably drinking sangrias with some beautiful young woman. That's what you get. You deserve to be sick, asshole. You didn't even take me out for drinks when I came out there to visit you.
Bullshit. We went out to DeKalb. We were hanging out with Jeff Mudgett.
Yeah, that's right. We were hanging out with Jeff Mudgett, Susan. I forgot about that. That's because
oh,
I had so many great people to hang
out
with, but I forgot you were there.
We didn't go out. We didn't go out for breakfast the next morning either. Before you guys took off.
Yeah, and that was a pretty damn good breakfast, too, by the way.
Yes.
But
yes,
I did discover something. Nobody should ever feed me eggs and then stick my ass in the truck for a 9-hour ride home. I thought by the time that trip was done, I was pretty certain Hulk was going to just hog tie me and stick my ass in the bed.
Yeah, I have to. Didn't you? Oh, I'm not going to get into that on this. But
wait. No, it was like 900 miles. It was more like 16, 17, 18 hours to get home. So yeah, it was pretty miserable. Long ride.
Miserable for her.
Well, yeah, but I did discover something. I think my wife is secretly a vehicle electronics guru because I think she figured out how to disable my window lock switch. In a vehicle, it's kind of hard to give anybody a Dutch oven, so just lock the windows. They can't do shit. I think she figured out how to disable that switch. But that's what I get.
That's what I was kind of getting out of if you were, and I wasn't going to go into, but since you went there, Hope, I'm definitely sorry for that. I should have, made him eat something a little less production of nastiness. And before we continue with this, and hopefully we don't, I have to say,
hey, this is into the darkness. I mean, we're, what the hell?
Yeah, exactly. The one thing that I do have to say is about what I think made me sick, to be honest with you, is I got stopped at the gas station and got gas and was looking for something to snack on, and they always put the shit by the registers. Well, the area that I had to walk past to get to the register had a big sale sign on it, and it just happened to be the beef jerky section. So I was like, sale? Beef jerky? What is that I see? Bacon beef jerky?
Oh, Lord.
Yes, I shall partake. Well, after consuming the whole bag of bacon jerky, and I know that it wasn't anything else, I was hanging out with my friend Diana Hunter, and we were just sitting around talking and, just shooting the shit and stuff outside. It was a nice night. And she left pretty early, went home, and then I, went to bed and woke up, and stomach was a little queasy. But I had fresh vegetables with blue cheese dressing that she had also. I texted her today, and I said, how are you feeling? She goes, I feel fine. I'm like, and this is when it started hitting me hard. So I think what it was the bacon beef jerky that was a bad batch. So what's the, was it Oberto or whatever? The, not Jack Link's, but the other one that's usually
used. Yeah, it's Oberto.
Yeah. Everybody, the bacon jerky is bad. Do not eat the bacon jerky. As delicious as it was, you do not want this hell.
Do not seek the treasure.
Oh, no, way to go, Matt. Maybe Alberto is going to try to be our sponsor for next week. With all the shameless plugs that we do, you probably just shut one right in the ass.
Well, okay, the teriyaki jerky was delicious.
Maybe the fact that you ate two flipping bags of jerky is what got you.
No, I started munching on the teriyaki jerky today, like when I was at work. I didn't even crack that bag yesterday.
Oh, God. Oh, what the hell have I done? I have done something to my computer. I have lost things. There they are. Oh, Lord, help me. All right, so tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we did not have any guest booked. partly because I've been scampering and trying to find luggage and everything else for this week-long adventure that I'm about to partake in. Partly because poor Matt is sick as a barn dog or junkyard dog or, well, whatever. And we were expecting to do a short show. However, we're just having too damn much fun. So feel free, if you have any questions for us regarding paranormal or just whatever in the hell comes to mind, throw it up there in the chat room, call in, let's see what you come up with. We'll spend a little bit of time just shooting the shit with you. I figure, you know, we'll hang out for about an hour, another half hour or so. So give us a buzz, 323-580-5703. And, you know, you can talk with CPR Matt. You can talk with myself. I'm the loudmouth Gabby one. I'm Dennis. We'd love to hear what you have to say. But give us a buzz, 323-580-5703.
Yes, so, I do have to say I'm very, very happy for Sarah LaBrie. She is in Vermont right now with her family. She's spending time with her kids and stuff and having a great time with them. She's been posting photos and all that. So she is stateside as of right now.
Awesome.
And she just messaged me. So I sent her a message asking if she has a couple minutes to actually call in and just say hi, because I know she's busy. So I'm waiting for her response on that one.
And, hey, here's another thought. September 6th, 7th, and 8th at the Sands Center there in Bethlehem, PA, will be ParaFest 2013. It's got a buttload of TV actors, movie actors. It will very likely have yours truly and Matt. Big Ray and KB will also be broadcasting from Ghost Raps Radio, I believe. God, I can't even go into the list, but check out ParaFest2013.com. And I think, well, last time I looked, I think there were like 63 names on the list of those that were going to be appearing. I actually got a look today at some of the schedule. They'll have everything from evidence review seminars to, gosh, I mean, name it. It was crazy the amount of information that's going to be shared there amongst so many different people that have been in this for, you know, who knows how long. But,
yeah.
You know, it's going to be just amazing.
And
so definitely,
on that note. Yeah, on that note also, Dennis, I have been talking with KB about it, and the both of us will be guest broadcasters with them from ParaFest. So
that's
definitely
awesome.
Something. Yeah, it's definitely something I'm really, really looking forward to. Sarah is going to be also there. Brittany was, but her schedule had changed. So she will not be going there, but I believe that Jody Parks is going to be there. Megan Campbell from Paranormal Hot Squad, along with Sarah. Just basically a ton of our friends. I mean, looking at the paranormal side, I'd have to say that we know, what, about 60% of them? Like, actually.
Probably.
Yeah, like actually talking to them on a regular basis.
Yeah, it's amazing. Jeff Leeper is going to be there. He's a producer. Tina Storr, who is with Paranormal Expeditions. I believe Megan Campbell is going to be there. Tracy Ray and David Roundtree are going to be there as well. I mean, just a huge number of people are going to be there. I'm not sure at this point. I've heard conflicting stories back and forth whether or not Scott Greenwald's going to be there. But You know, Mark and Debbie Constantino are going to be there, and they're going to be doing a little seminar on evidence review, EVP gathering. It's just a crazy list. Bruce Tango, Dave Tango, Steve Gonzalez, you know, the Ghost Hunters crew. Even Grant Wilson, even though he's no longer with Ghost Hunters, he is going to be there as well. Buttload of vendors, you know, just all kinds of things. I mean, this thing should be just off the chain with this many people. So yeah. You definitely want to step out and check out Parafest 2013 there in Bethlehem, PA on September 6th, 7th, and 8th. And, hey, you never know. Maybe Matt will be over his illness and we won't have to put him in confinement.
Yeah, hopefully they have a big enough, kind of like one of those hamster wheels. If this lasts that long, I'm just going to end it. Sarah did write back, and she says, say hi for me. She goes, my baby's just passed out on my lap watching a movie, and she goes, I am not even moving right now. So her kids are sleeping. She's, you know, having a great time with them watching a movie and listening to them snore if they are. So, yeah, so maybe she's still in town, in stateside on Wednesday. Maybe chat with her for a little bit before she heads back to paradise.
Yeah, oh, the poor thing. She's got to go back to all that heat and sunshine in Mexico. I almost feel bad for her. No, not at all. Not at all.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's such a pain in the ass with all the snorkeling and scuba diving and, you know, the Mayan ruins. And I feel so bad for her.
And all that ugly white sand and, you know, blue water. Yeah, just makes my skin crawl thinking about it.
Yeah, so,
ladies and gentlemen, if you can't tell, we're both full of shit. Well, Mac may not be much after, you know, what he claims to have been doing most of the day, but oh, Lord. You know, at some point in time, FCC is going to go, you know, these two dumbasses really ought not be on air. We need to get rid of them. But until then, we're going to have a damn blast, folks. So, man.
And real quick, back to the Parafest thing, with that, is I was talking to the coordinator, which I don't know if he wants to say or anybody to say who he is personally, but I was talking to him about Dennis, you and I, and possibly Graham being there. And what he was talking about, he goes, well, there's still minimal space available. And he was asking, he's like, you know, do you guys want a booth? I'm like, we're going to be bouncing around so damn much, we don't have time for a booth.
Yeah, a booth wouldn't do us any good.
No. So we will be going around, you know, hanging out with a bunch of people in their booths and, you know, talking with people and possibly helping them, you know, seminars and stuff, still waiting to get confirmations on some of that. So we're going to be all over the place. We're kind of just going to be floaters. Sarah will have a booth there. And that'll probably be mostly our home base, if you will. But yeah, we're going to be pretty much all over the place. So it's definitely, if you don't catch us, you'll probably see us walking around. Just snag us. Be like, hey, you know, what's up, guys? And we have no problem talking with everybody. But yeah, with the amount of people that we know and all the actors and actresses and just the level of entertainment that's going to be there, it's just going to be awesome, and totally excited for it.
I don't know, man. It kind of scares me that you tell them to just grab us and talk to us, because I'm really shy and withdrawn. I'm not sure that I can handle that. Just,
yeah.
I don't know. I might pee myself or something.
Yeah, I don't mean...
Approach me carefully. How's that?
Yeah, because... The other thing is, too, is Pennsylvania is a carry state, and Dennis is usually armed. So don't start a just don't startle them.
I will either shoot or shit. I'm not sure which will happen if you startle me out
there. There might be some sort of discharge, just which kind.
You know, think of it like a turtle. Think of it more like a skunk. They put out something really offensive to scare an attacker away, and then they run like hell. And that's what I might do.
So bad there.
God, I am just not right. But that's all right. I have assurances. I was able to get through to my counselor last week. He says that he only has another session or two of therapy, and then he will be released and we can start back into therapy. I don't know why the hell it is, but I know so many, like every therapist I've ever had has needed therapy. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
It just boggles my mind. I thought therapists were like these really stable people, you know. But I don't understand. Everyone I've ever known has needed therapy after just a couple of weeks knowing me. Or me knowing them.
Yeah. So. They were fine, you know, before, but then... It is what it is. I mean, you know, you're talking to them, and then they hear what the hell flies out of your mouth, and then they get to hug themselves in that damn white coat.
Yes. Well, it usually fits them so much better than me. I didn't care much for it. But, Carrie here in the chat has to be the smart ass. I love her to death. Because you can drive anyone crazy. Most of them, I don't think it's a drive so much as it is a short putt. I think most therapists are already right there on the green anyway. You just need a little tap into the cup.
you're kind of one of those Happy Gilmore. Just tap it in. Eventually it goes in, blows up, and then they're on suicide watch with no shoelaces. Congratulations, Dennis.
Yeah, I mean.
So I do have to say, on a little bit of more of a somber note, of the gentleman who actually passed away, Dennis Farina. He was actually a Chicago police officer for 17 years before he went into acting and all that. A dear family friend, Tom Dreesen, was extremely, extremely good friends with him. Dennis used to do all the celebrity golf tournaments that Tom had every time they'd come here, and they'd hang out if Tom was in town, or, you know, if Dennis was out in L.A. They're just really, really good friends. They had known each other for a very, very long time. So the hearts do go out to the friends and the family, and rest in peace, and hopefully that, you know, he's okay, their family's okay and stuff. But yeah, it was a phenomenal actor, and I knew he always played a cop on TV, but I didn't know until today that he was a Chicago police officer for 17 years.
Huh. Well, that's one way to change lifestyle. By the way, the short film that you were talking about from David and John is Eden. E-D-E-N.
Yeah, I know the name of it. I just didn't know if they wanted it released yet.
They have it broadcast out there, so.
Okay, they didn't have it on Saturday. It wasn't out there on Saturday so that's why I didn't say the name of it, so.
Right, but, yeah, I mean, Dennis Farina, back on that one. You know, see, folks, here's the problem. Everybody says, I have a one-track mind, I have a one-track mind. No, I have a multi-crack mind. There's no track there, because that leads you in one path. No, it's all these damn voices in my head. But, yeah, Dennis Farina played, you know, several good roles, both TV shows and movies. It's definitely a shame to see him pass. And here's the other scary part. They say it always comes in threes. So, you know, there's no telling who else we may lose. But hopefully... Nobody but You know, that's just an impossibility. So, folks, if you're tired of hearing us babble, you're more than welcome to call in, throw something up in the chat there that you want to talk about. Again, the number to call in and shoot the breeze with us is 323-580-5703. And, we'll see if we can give you any intelligent response to your questions. I'm not sure how well that's going to work out, but.
Which is most likely an impossibility.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the intelligent part. We'll come up with an answer, though.
Yeah. In the time that we're waiting, one thing I do want to talk about is the event that was at Farrar this past weekend that I am extremely, extremely pissed that it didn't work out to where I was able to go to that. On the anniversary show of this show, Helmy Kramer, Daniel Hooven, and Jordan Murphy, and the time that they were on the show, had basically told me I had to go. So I worked it, or I was trying to work it out, and by the time that I was talking to the coordinator of that, it just ended up to where I couldn't put it together. The expense at the last minute was just way, way too much, and I did try my damnedest to get out there. So every time I'd see all their posts and all that kind of stuff, that it would do nothing but basically just piss me off and make me jealous that I couldn't be there. And they did have some phenomenal, phenomenal stuff. I'm going to go to Jordan's page really quick. I know she didn't post the actual EVP that they got from there, but she did post something that was extremely, extremely interesting of the best EVP that they got from there. Just of what it says. So I'm trying to look on her page now to find it. And Jenny Gurney was out there. There was just a ton of people. But yeah, one of the EVPs, for people who don't know, at the Farrar school that's out there, there's a school, and then there's a couple other buildings that are on the property. Well, there was I think he was a janitor, and that's what I'm looking for right now. They posted so many damn pictures, that's why it's hard to find one of her just regular posts. And I believe that they got it on Friday night. There's a lot of tragedy that happened with the children that were out there. And there was, I believe he was the janitor, I believe he was a janitor that was out there, and he used to molest the kids and all that kind of stuff. And he was convicted of rape and on children and everything. Well, they actually got an EVP. It was Friday night, the first night of the event, and said it was the best one of the night, and I didn't see anything else. And I was hoping that Jordan was actually going to be able to call in tonight, but I want to talk to her, but she was swamped from just getting back from the event. EVP that she got Friday was, "I raped them and they cried." Which
I definitely want to hear that. That EVP. Anytime you can get a full sentence in an EVP is amazing. But to be able to catch kind of an admission of guilt that is, that's obviously an intelligent response. So that would definitely be amazing. I'd love to hear that one.
Yeah, and that was all that was posted about it. It wasn't an audio clip to say, hey, this is what we were asking and this is the response we got. It was just that. And Jordan's supposed to call me tomorrow, actually, so we can, because I had some questions about it. And I don't know if I really do want to talk to her. So it's just going to make me more and more jealous of all the cool crap that they got to do and that I should have been a part of but wasn't able to. But yeah, exactly.
Hey, I didn't get to go either.
But they didn't invite you, they invited me.
Well, I see how it is.
No, because for me it's only a 5-hour drive. For you it's like a 22-hour drive.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
And I looked up flights even and stuff like that. I don't give a damn who you are, but there is no way to go to Iowa, of all places, that I was actually going to go in and spend that much to get to Iowa. And when I say that much, and I'm kind of alluding to the price, price line for what it was, being that week, was $1,400 round trip.
Damn.
It was, for a Best Western or even a Red Roof Inn out there, it was $179 a night. Plus, the ticket people, not the coordinator, because it was different of the people who were running the tickets, which were very, very limited at that point, and all the guests couldn't be there last, and you know, couldn't get it in last minute. All the guests had were pre-booked and had their stuff, so that's why I was talking with the coordinator, and he said he was trying his damnedest. Well, that was $300. And to drive there, it's 309 miles doorstep to doorstep one way for me, from here to Des Moines, Iowa. My Jeep gets 11 miles to the gallon on the highway. No matter how I looked at it, it was almost a $1,000 trip to drive and like a $2,500 trip to fly. So,
Pimpin' ain't easy, brother. Pimpin' ain't easy.
Wow.
I should be so ashamed. I don't know why the hell I'm not. Where the hell is my filter?
I don't ever have known you to have one.
I think I was dropped on my head and it broke at birth or something. Maybe I can go back and sue the hospital I was born in.
Yep. I believe that would probably be a good idea.
I think it'd be worthwhile.
Well, in the time I've known you, there had to have been some lack of oxygen to your brain or a head trauma. Something.
Ouch. I will have you know, I wear a helmet religiously, so I'm doubting it was head trauma.
Should have been born with a helmet.
I knew there was something coming. Yeah, man. You get sick, you're just mean. I don't want to play with you no more. You're just mean. You almost hurt my feeling. It's a good thing I only have one. But, yeah, hell. Who am I kidding? You can't hurt my feeling. I only have one. I keep it in a shoebox under the bed. I take it out once a month, play with it, put it back. So go ahead, my friend. Try to hurt my feeling. Just try. Just try. I dare you. I dare you. Yeah, yeah.
What I'm... Ooh, you know what? Actually, I'm here. This will probably make you a little more jealous also. If I can swing this on such short notice, maybe as my co-host for Wednesday, I'll see if Jordan or Helmy or Daniel are able to actually do the show and talk about the whole event. And well, and if in fact they can, we'll get somebody who was a guest at Farrar to talk about their experiences of what happened and what they kind of learned from everybody that was out there, just a regular random guest.
No, that would be cool. So you have to make sure to throw plenty of splash out there if you can get that to happen. Unfortunately, I will not be able to listen in. But I assure you, I will find the archive and I will listen in if you can make that happen, brother. Which, you know, as often as we talk to Helmy, Daniel, and Jordan, I wouldn't be amazed if it did happen. I mean, I gotta say one thing, man. They are just three of the most down-to-earth people I have talked to in a long damn time. And they're just a blast to talk to.
Yeah, and even I know she hasn't been online that much, and I know she's busy as shit with some other stuff, but, I mean, even Chelsea Damali, too. I mean, she's, you know, she's a sweetheart, just, you know, awesome to talk to, down to earth, you know, knowledgeable and everything. But,
yeah.
Yeah. So she's been going through, you know, the personal life changes where she's kind of fell off of the mainstream in the spotlight kind of thing while she works stuff out. So.
Well, she also, she did have a post, I want to say earlier today, that she's got so many things in the works that she's just having a hard time trying to keep up with everything. So,
yeah. You
know, that's fantastic. But,
yeah. Hey,
you never know. Never know. Maybe one of them will be available to come on. You know, they're more than welcome to slide into my co-host seat and tell us how everything went. I would be honored to, you know, have housekeeping dust off my co-host seat for it.
Well, even sitting in that seat so long, there's no possible way that there is dust on there. And I have to say that through all the shit that I put you through with these shows, man, I'm honored every single week that you still, one, show up, and the fact that we can sit and we can shoot the shit for 2 hours, and for some reason people actually listen. I don't get it.
Well, that's
the scary
part.
What's wrong with you people?
I mean, half the time, I don't even want to listen to us talk. Well, okay. Most of the time, it's that I don't want to listen to you talk.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. I got a feeling next time I go to Chicago or next time. Oh, wait. Yeah, something tells me that.
In September.
I got a feeling I'm going to step out of my truck in Bethlehem and get hit in the back of the head with a snowball or some shit. I mean, it's more through the Mason-Dixon. I don't know when it snows up there, but I got a feeling it's going to be cold.
No, September will still be nice.
Yeah, I'm not willing to bet on it. It's north of the Mason-Dixon. There's nothing nice up there. I don't care what time of year it is.
Yeah. Actually, I think Philadelphia is the cutoff of Mason-Dixon, isn't it?
No. It's much further south.
I thought it jumped north right in Pennsylvania.
Not that I'm aware of. I'm not sure what you're thinking of. You know, folks, if anybody can tell us, let's see. Good. I'm glad we crack you up, Terry. she doesn't do paranormal, but we still crack her up. So that's good. I mean, see, I told you with me being Abby Normal and, you know, not right in the melon, we would still get listeners.
Yeah. One question I do have, and this is a subject that was discussed last night, and it was proposed to me in a way, and I've thought about it in the past, but I've never actually really discussed it. I've discussed it with people, but not in an open forum like this. And I don't think we've ever talked about it. In getting into, you know, when you got into the paranormal and stuff and started actually going on investigations and doing the billions of hours of research that we've done and trial and error and all that stuff, how, from when you were younger till now, has that changed your perception of death?
Well, first off, Terry says that Southern Maryland is the cutoff for Mason-Dixon. So I'll have to take that simply because I don't know, and we'll pick a median line there for all I care. But as far as how has all the time and everything doing my review and the investigations and so forth, how has it changed my perception of death? From the time I was little, I kind of believed in reincarnation anyway. I always knew there was something. I just didn't know what. I was seven when my grandfather passed away. And he passed in the middle of the night. And I woke up and could swear that he had come to me and told me goodbye. Now, of course, you know, as a seven-year-old kid, you're not really told much of anything. But I got woke up at like 2:30 in the morning that we had to leave and go to grandmother's house that was a couple-hour drive away. And I remember asking Mom, is it because Granddaddy passed away tonight? And Mom stopped cold in her tracks and just looked at me like I had just grown a third eye in the middle of my forehead. Of course, she said, well, you know, what makes you say that? I said, well, he came to me tonight and told me goodbye, but I didn't understand what he meant. So I always knew there was something afterwards, just didn't know what. Am I afraid of death? No, it'll find me when its time is there. Do I want to rush it? Not necessarily, but I mean, I don't fear it as much as I guess the normal person does. I still have, let's see, 7 years ago, my father was killed in a car crash. And I swear he came to me that night in a dream and explained a whole bunch of things to me. That all turned out to be spot on. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. So I know that even from the other side, they can still talk to us. I have enough EVPs to prove that. I can't really say that it has changed my perception of death in any dramatic form. It's helped me understand it a little more, and it's helped me to no longer fear it. You know, most people are terrified of death. I just know that it's another stage that the human soul goes through. So how's that for an answer?
I wasn't into it from a young age like that. And I always had, you know, I look at it from a different perspective of coming into it later, if you, you know, than what you did. Like, you know, I wasn't a kid and was tormented or, you know, saw my dead relatives or talked to them or anything like that. And I don't have the abilities that you do. And I think that kind of plays into it too. But with me personally, it's, you know, growing up, you know, somebody passed away and didn't understand it, you know, to where, and you know, to where I was actually at the point as a kid to where if we went to a wake or a funeral or something like that, I wouldn't even approach the casket. And it was beyond me of how people would walk up and, like, you know, you'd see the body displayed there and they'd, you know, be crying or they'd be saying their goodbyes and paying their respects or whatever, and they'd actually, like, place their hands on their hands or they'd kiss them on the cheek or, you know, anything like that. And that actually kind of, like, I looked at it as how can they do that? That's kind of terrifying. But then, you know, as I started getting older and figuring out how the human body worked and all that, and seeing a lot of the guts and gore and all that stuff that I have from, you know, working as a EMT and then psychology and all that kind of stuff, definitely that changed my perspective a little bit more. And then now as being a completely, you know, active and out there in the paranormal world as we are, it's like, I do get a lot of people that when somebody passes who is not even, you know, really, really into paranormal, like they'll watch shows or stuff like that, but when they have a loved one that passes and they'll ask me questions about it, and I try and answer them from a psychological standpoint to try and help him out, not in a counseling way, but as a friend, just, you know, who deals with that kind of stuff on an emotional level. But, you know, it's really hard to say. It's bad to say goodbye to somebody because you're never going to actually be able to interact with them again if, in fact, they don't end up and sticking around and haunting someplace intelligently. But at the same time, it's, you know, look, I just look at it completely different than I did before all this stuff and schooling and all that came into play. So when I try and console somebody, I've actually had people, when somebody has passed away, that have told me that we're actually kind of like bad people for doing what we do.
You know, 'cause that, I had the same thing.
That, you know, it cancels out the rest in, you know, it's rest in peace. It's not rest and be annoyed.
Right. And I've heard the same thing, but there's also a difference between being annoyed and, I mean, everybody wants to impart knowledge and wisdom to somebody else. And from what I have seen, even from the other side, they want to impart their knowledge and wisdom of what it's like. Well, man's quest from, you know, pre-biblical times has been, what's after death?
Yeah.
Well, now that, you know, they're able to tell you. So it's kind of helping both sides in the fact that, you know, you're not disrespecting them by talking to them. You're honoring them by trying to garner some of their knowledge. They're actually there. They can share their knowledge. And it helps this side to understand what there is after death. I mean, even as, you know, even as I've held people in my arms while they've died, and I've actually been hands-on with, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 people in my life while they actually passed, be it through a car crash or whatever. You know, you have this natural desire to know what the hell is going on their side. But, you know, I really don't know what else to say for it, other than I don't think it's dishonoring them. I don't think it's being disrespectful. I think it's a matter of, you know, you're honoring them in the fact that you acknowledge that life was here. And it was somebody's mother, brother, father, uncle, whatever, you know?
Well, and that is something, too, that looking at it, it also depends, and I don't know if this is just a self-justification, but it also depends how you approach it. If you approach it with honor and respect and, you know, a communicative way, as opposed to going in there and, like, taunting and, you know, doing all that crap, then, yeah. I mean, that's disrespectful, especially looking at it, yeah, okay, if it's a murder or, you know, something like that, you look at it in a different way than if it was, you know, grandma or grandpa or mom or dad or sister or cousin, brother, you know, something like that. But I see the point in that of what people are saying, especially if it is a location that, you know, you rent out for the night, or like, you know, an asylum or a prison. And you go in, and they're constantly having somebody in there every week. It's like, that would get, from the other side's perspective, on an intelligence, that would be annoying as hell. I mean, that literally would, I could understand if, in fact, it is spirits that are scratching and, you know, pushing and pulling hair and all that. If somebody's poking at you with a stick for, you know, you don't poke a sleeping bear with a stick. I mean, eventually, after years of that, of weekly stuff, and not knowing that the people are coming in there and they're going to be trying to call you out and telling you what a piece of shit you are and this, that, and the other thing. Yeah. What would you do, you know?
I wouldn't take years for me to be an asshole spirit. I'm convinced I'm already going to be the type of spirit anyway that, you know, chuck shit across the room at you. You know, can you make this little green light come on? Oh, I can do more than make that green light come on. Watch that son of a bitch fly, baby.
So, and you know, I was looking at it. Remember the groups over time that have done the Casa Madrid, which is now something else, but back when it was Casa Madrid, when you see it on the shows and people are going in there because it's like, you know, an old speakeasy, Al Capone, gangster, like, hangout, that kind of thing. So where people are going in there and they're like, taunting the gangsters. And Paranormal Cops did it, and they were pretty respectful. That was one of the ones that David Scott and John Stevens, on their program, that was one of the ones they were showing at the film festival, and was their investigation of the Casa Madrid, and Ron Fabiani was on that episode along with a couple other people that were there, and a local psychic, because they had never used a psychic before, and they blindfolded her in the car, turned the when they picked her up, turned the audio on their GPS off, and she was completely blindfolded the whole time during the walkthrough. And she was just nailing stuff left and right, left and right. Some of the evidence that they caught on film between Kurt and John and David is some pretty awesome stuff. So if you look on their YouTube channel, which is Believe, an Online Paranormal Experience, just look for the Casa Madrid investigation. Check that one out. And also check out the one, I can't remember the location off the top of my head, but it was out in, believe it was Nevada or Arizona, that they did with Christopher Fleming, where he channeled. That was an amazing episode also. So, yeah.
Would that be the one where he banged the hell out of his head?
Yeah, he slammed his head into the counter four times?
Yeah. How the hell he came out of there without a concussion, I don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea either. But, yeah, so, and that's, I was talking to Chris about it afterwards, is there is a lot of truth in looking at it from both sides. And I'm not saying the afterlife and the current, just in general, like from both sides of people who aren't into paranormal whatsoever and having negative things to say about us, and I believe that it really is subjective. And what I was getting at in the whole start of this conversation was just keep in mind as a group. And I'm not, I know, Dennis, you completely you're with me on this. As a group, if you're investigating somewhere and you're not getting any responses to come through, and especially if it's something that you should not do this, don't just start taunting just to try and stir shit up to try and get it, because especially in a private residence, and especially if it's a private residence and somebody who thinks it's their family member, because I did hear, I'm not going to name names, but I did hear one group that I was talking to the homeowner and had no belief in it, no nothing. She called this group in and she said, you know, I think it's either my grandmother or my aunt that's here. And they were, you old bitch, you know, get out here. Like, what, you know, why are you hiding? What are you, you're a coward. Like, and the homeowner was present during the investigation too. I just started burst into tears that people would actually be that heartless when she said who it was. Not, hey, I think I have a demon in my house. No, I think it's my aunt, my mother, my grandmother, whichever one she said. I know one of them was the aunt. I can't remember if it was mother or grandmother. But, yeah, like, just be respectful.
Yeah, I'm afraid they would have had, like, poltergeist activity happen from the living, because I'd have been chucking shit at their heads myself.
Yeah, definitely.
I assure you, if I were trying a new team member out and they did anything similar to that, oh, God help them. Because, you know, they'd come out of there looking like they just got done with 3 episodes of The Exorcist, and it would be me up their ass so far. They'd be tasting shoe leather for a month. No matter where you're at, no matter who the client thinks it is, whether the family or, you know, maybe it's the old farmer that lived here, God, just show respect. I mean, no matter who actually is haunting the location, they used to be somebody's family member.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody deserves respect. Now, if it's someone, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer's house or something like that, the Green River Killer, I understand being a little harsh. But in general, no, you just don't do that. There's no call for it whatsoever. But we got a question in the chat for you. Have you ever done any of the haunts in Chicago?
Yes, I've done a few of them, actually. And Terry, by the way, when you see typing in chat, you are on Radio Network. That is me. This is the one that's typing. So you can ask me, not in a third person way, like asking Dennis to ask me. But just FYI. And
that's because he's too damn lazy to change it over to show his name.
It doesn't let you when you're the host. It doesn't let
cool.
you switch over to. Yeah, if you are on Radio Network, no matter what show it is. Yes, I have. I've done a few of them. Just did. I've done Congress Theater. I've done the Congress Hotel was the most recent one. I didn't do the overnight on that, but I did the preliminary walkthrough and did an EVP session with Ursula was there, Michael Esposito, just a great group of people. A ton of other people were there, just too many to name. I mean, we'd run out of time with that event. But for what it is in Chicago, is it's very, very hard to get into places. There are certain ones that when there's events and everything else that, you know, they will, but you got to pull permit, you got to jump through hoops, and you got to do all that stuff. So there's been a couple places that I have done on an independent level. There's a restaurant. It's called Great Escape, which is more by the airport, but it's still technically a Chicago address. That one I've done a few times, actually, and it's been actually really interesting. If you look it up, it's like not the Great Escape, like where you go and buy patio furniture and all that stuff and pool crap. It's called Great Escape Chicago. If you Google that one, read their haunting, I've done that. I've done the Country House, which has a really, really interesting story. If you look up Country House, and I believe it's not Clarendon Hills. It's not Lyle, and it's not Aurora. So if you Google Country House and read their ghost story, it's pretty interesting, too. And got some cool stuff. A ton of private residents. Ursula and I have done, you know, countless homes, locations, all that kind of stuff. I have been a few times to the Portage Theater when it was open. Unfortunately, the city strong-armed the owners into closing that. They were extremely, extremely hospitable. Anytime that we had an event, anything that we had going on, Portage, just the sweet, sweet, nice people, amazing, amazing history. And Chicago, basically strong-armed them into closing, hitting them with liquor license infractions and all this other crap, which they made up, revised their contract. Then 16 hours later went in, did the inspection. They failed, so they said that they had to pay all these fines. They didn't even notify that they had to make any changes and were in breach of liquor licensing laws. The one thing about Chicago that's hard around here, too, is Chicago wants to bury its history. There's a couple things that they will let you do, which is basically go to public places. They'll recognize the Great Chicago Fire. They'll recognize a lot of the other things that have happened. I mean, look at the Chicago World's Fair and how much all the H.H. Holmes stuff didn't even really come out all that much until the past couple years. And when Devil in the White City came out, yeah, it was a bestseller. Chicago would not recognize that area. There's a statue from the Chicago World's Fair that's still standing down there that has nothing about anything to do on this very, very long descriptive plaque about any of the events of Holmes and anything else that happened during the Chicago World's Fair, except for the amazing positive things that have happened. Chicago doesn't, this is disgusting to me, the second largest maritime disaster on and pretty much any inland body of water is the Eastland disaster, which rolled over in the Chicago River, and I believe, if I remember correctly off the top of my head, it was 817 people drowned in the Chicago River. If you go to the, and Harpo Studios was a makeshift morgue. There's a couple other places around there. Oprah says it's haunted, but there's no way in hell that you're getting into her studios to investigate. Trust me, everybody has tried. Oprah's closest personal paranormal investigative friends, she does not let in there to do it. But the staff has a ton of stories and talked to a bunch of them. hell, St. Valentine's Day Massacre. They tore that building down and turned it into a park, and there's no recognition of that event happening at all. No commemorative plaque, no nothing. It's just swept under the rug. We don't want people to talk about it. Paranormal teams were going there, so what did the city do? They shut down the park. So, yes, I have done places, but it's not the easiest to get into a lot of the famous places. But, so, yeah, there are more that I have done, but I've been babbling on for how long now, Dennis?
I don't know, a couple of minutes.
Oh, shit, you're still awake?
Asleep. Yeah, I was asleep, so I missed it, man. I'm sorry. What were you saying? But, hey, one of the other things that Terry asked in chat was, so what I'm getting is that you're saying is ghosts can throw a temper tantrum. Well, yeah, they can. If they are strong enough, they can not only throw a temper tantrum, they can throw shit at you. Like, God, who was it that we were talking to that they had, like, oh, that's right, we were talking to Nick.
That was
Carlson,
Nick last week, yeah.
At Pennhurst. Crowbar got thrown across the room. A big brass plumbing fitting got thrown across the room. So, yeah, they can throw a temper tantrum. They'll let you know they're there. Piss them off.
And Pennhurst was actually the same location that Ghost Adventures caught the brick and the 2x4 being thrown in the same area.
Right. In the basement. You know, I mean, there's a spirit down there that literally launched a brick. I mean, they brought in engineers to, you know, study what force it would take to launch that brick the way it did. They brought in video editors that, you know, that's all they do, a study to see if the video had been screwed with in any way, shape, or form. And no, it's nobody, you know, for 10 feet from the brick, and all of a sudden it come up off the floor and just launched across the room. So, yes, to answer your question, a ghost can throw a temper tantrum. They can move things. I've seen shit move that I can't explain. I haven't seen anything quite that bad, but I have seen things move. I've seen a full-bodied apparition that I can't for the life of me come up with any explanation other than it's a spirit that is stuck at that location and for whatever reason decided to manifest at that time of day and let me see it. I thought it was a human walked past me. I followed in its footsteps just 2 seconds later because I was so dumbfounded. This is a government work site. You have to have a hard hat. You have to have steel-toe shoes. You have to have a safety vest on. And this guy come walking through my job site in a long black coat with a black briefcase and a fedora. And who the hell is that? So, you know, yeah, it can happen.
And hell, my honey hole up in Wisconsin. That's
yeah.
You know, there's a chair that's in the barn up there that no matter where you put it in the barn, it eventually ends up in the exact same place with in the exact same angle. If you knock it over, it's standing back up. So yep. You can see drag marks in the hay and in the dirt of it going back there. And I know nobody's going in there messing with me and doing it because it's just it's not happening. All the family members are accounted for. And the next neighbors are like 3/4 mile up the road. It's a farm.
Yeah, it's it all depends on the energy that spirit's able to conjure up. Yeah, so yeah, it does happen. But yeah, I mean, like you know, Terry's statement in chat was, Chicago is still extremely corrupt and difficult. They don't want you to know their past, to look at their past, whether they believe how you're doing it or not, which is true. I mean, no city wants to point out their negatives in their past. I mean, hell, the city of Richmond 10 years ago was second per capita in the murder rate in the United States, and you don't see that in the paperwork. You know, that's not any, you know. Now, they'll constantly tell you how they're dropping the murder rate here. It's getting lower and lower each year, but you know, you'll never see them say that, you know, from 10 years ago when we were second in the per capita, you won't see that part.
Yeah, pat us on the back for this one.
Yeah. Hey, folks, we went from second per capita in the murder rate in the United States to look how good we're doing now, which I still think that if the city had been smart, they would have trained the people that were doing all the shooting, which was, I mean, at that time there was a huge influx of drug use in the city. I think if they had trained all the druggies, we could have taken number one, damn it. We could have been number one. They just didn't train them.
Yeah,
is that wrong of me to say?
Well, and you also look at, I mean, even Chicago, too, is they talk about all the shootings that are here in Chicago. And I mean, there's 4th of July, there was 71 shootings. It's like, you know, 71 shootings on the 4th of July when it's supposed to be happy and partying and all that. And they chastise everybody in the city and they're constantly, you know, giving pay cuts and all that to, you know, police officers and taking them off the street. Well, if you look at the demographic of where all these shootings and stuff happen, it's in like 2 neighborhoods. I mean, it's literally just 2 neighborhoods. You don't hear about it in like Lincoln Park and Wicker Park and, you know, and Gold Coast and the nicer areas of Chicago. You don't hear any of that. The worst that you hear is a drunk fat frat boy got in a fight with another frat boy and they were, you know, and they were arrested, and the fight lasted like 2 or 3 minutes, and then it was broken up. But they got arrested because bar staff called the police. You don't hear about shootings and stabbings and all that other stuff hardly at all outside of these neighborhoods.
Yeah, and it's, who knows? It's just crazy. But, you know, Chicago doesn't want their history known. They don't want to be known as a haunted location. And they don't want their haunted locations to be advertised. It all comes down, I think it comes down to money. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Terry's right. Are we getting a little too political here?
Well, no. I mean, it all ties together in one aspect or another. I mean, for a huge portion, if you start pulling out all the paranormal stuff and all the, you know, quote-unquote hauntings and everything, then you do have to start getting into the politics and the money, because that's what's hiding the paranormal stuff. They don't want you to know about the hauntings, because then they're afraid they won't get tourist dollars.
Yeah.
So,
is
this about politics or paranormal? Well, both, because they kind of have to go hand in hand, because everybody wants to protect a reputation and so forth. I mean, you know, just like the place that I kind of train my team here, and Terry is familiar with that location, they, you know, I was given access anytime you want, man, just go ahead, but don't you dare tell the employees about anything you see here or whatever. The last thing I need is my employees knowing that the place is haunted, or the general population knowing the place is haunted, because I'll lose business.
Yeah.
Well, it makes sense to me.
And then there's a flip side of that, too. If you look at, and I believe, if I remember right, it's Point Pleasant, West Virginia. They actually embraced all that. Mothman. You know,
Mothman.
They're known by the national government as the city of Mothman. So it's a legend that turned into acknowledgement, actually. And they embraced it.
They welcome it and turn it into a tourist location.
Yeah.
But then again, what the hell else is that place going to have that, you know, in this little podunk town in the middle of nowhere, for crying out loud.
Yeah, but then, and you look at Loch Ness in Ireland. I mean, that's, you know, everything's nasty out there. Like, there's a lot of places that do, I mean, Bigfoot out in the hills, and there's a lot of places that do have, that have embraced it, and it's actually flourished their community and the finances for the community.
Well, I mean, if you want to get into that, look at the paranormal highway, Roswell, New Mexico.
Yeah.
Look how they've embraced it, you know, the extraterrestrial highway. You know, God, what's the name of the one restaurant out there? Now, who would know the name of a random restaurant in the middle of New Mexico from the East Coast? Unless they decided to embrace this paranormal phenomenon that is supposedly occurred there. And
yeah.
I, for the life of me, right off the tip of my tongue, I can't think of the name of that little restaurant or little diner, but I'm sure I could find it in a heartbeat. But,
well,
yeah, I mean,
let's
it,
be honest. Out there, it has been embraced, but sure as shit, not from the U.S. government that has a military base there. They haven't embraced it.
No, they don't. They don't have a military base. There is no base out there. There is nothing there. Like, wow. What the hell? But I don't know, man. It's so strange the way that different locations choose to capitalize on some odd thing versus others. I mean, and look at the Alamo. You know, they swear up and down that you can still hear, you know, the fight raging on there all these years later, and they embrace that, and they invite you to come out and check out our hauntings.
Oh, it was, yeah. The name of the restaurant you're talking about is the Alien Zone.
Yeah, the Alien, Little Alien Inn. Something like that. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. But I don't blame them. I mean, any gimmick that makes your place of business money, I say embrace it. I don't give a rat's ass if you want to say that aliens come there and deliver the food. I'm good with that.
But, yeah.
I mean, why bother to hide it? Because they, you know, I think City of Chicago should back off. Just let these locations speak for themselves, you know? I mean, like Terry is a skeptic. Okay, well, if she doesn't want to go check them out, if she's a skeptic, as she says, then she's not going to go check those places, or she's not going to refuse to go to those places because she's afraid of it's haunted. Maybe it just isn't something she gives a shit about. So, I mean, it's, I don't know. I mean, what the hell? You got people on both sides of the fence, and you got people that are sitting on the fence going, I'm a believer, I'm a skeptic, I really don't know what the hell to believe. Why not make money from all three groups? I mean, you know, if they tell you that a place isn't haunted, yet they run haunted tours, would you still go? Well, hell yeah, why not? But let's go see for myself.
Well, and it's also not a bad thing just to go for, even if you don't believe in the haunting aspect of it, it's still cool to go just to hear the history. You know, I mean, every place has history.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that, you know, here in downtown, we have a Edgar Allan Poe Museum that has a lot of his writings, a lot of his original rough drafts and things like that. There's local teams that go investigate it and say that they've had, you know, fantastic evidence and this and that and the other. Yet, the location itself, management there says, we're not haunted, but you're welcome to come and investigate. Ooh. Okay, now wait a minute. You're not haunted, but you want to charge me to come investigate. I get what you're doing there. You're just making money on it. What the hell? I mean, in a free enterprise system, isn't that what you're supposed to do? Make money, whatever legal manner you can. So, I mean, what the hell? You know, why not? If Chicago hadn't torn down the building surrounding the, well, it was primarily one main wall from the Valentine's Day Massacre, put the damn thing behind chain link fence, charge admission to get into it, charge admission to go run EVPs or whatever. What the hell? I'm all for it. And by the way, Terry says she's glad we stayed on longer than 30 minutes. My response was, yeah, like we could shut up after 30 minutes. So here we are, an hour and 35 minutes into what was only supposed to be maybe a 30-minute show. Yeah, like that's going to happen.
That's never the case with us.
Nah, neither one of us can shut up. But, you know, if, all right, well, we have a, there's a train tunnel in downtown Richmond that back in, I think like the 1920s, 1930s, I'm not real sure on the details of it, but the train tunnel collapsed on the train and supposedly six men died inside. The city doesn't hardly put out anything other than they have a plaque out there that acknowledges that the train tunnel collapsed. There is nothing on there that says, you know, And according to numerous locals, it's believed to be haunted. Nothing about that. But what they did do, they actually left the train and the six victims buried. They tried to dig them out, I think, like 20 years ago. It collapsed even further. They buried it back in and just left it there and put up a memorial plaque to memorialize the victims of the collapse. I think that's pretty phenomenal. Chicago,
yeah,
they would have probably, you know, turned it into a city park and not put anything up to, you know, memorialize the victims that died at that location. But, I mean, I guess it's all politics and each to their own.
Yeah. There's, you know, it's just a lot, and that's one thing that I love about working with, like, Ursula and Len and a lot of the, you know, groups that are around here and stuff, is all of us do get together and attempt to, you know, talk to the city about putting up memorials and you know, honorary mentions and all that kind of stuff to get it more, you know, in as knowledge, because Chicago as it is, I mean, yeah, of course, if they can't capitalize or make money off of it, then why the hell do it? But, like, for example, perfect example, look at Jeff Mudgett with the Holmes thing, and the United States Postal Service, which isn't even a government entity, it's an independent company, just happened to be able to use USPS, they denied him putting up a plaque, not about the what had happened there, but putting up a plaque of the known named victims of that had passed away on the property. They just said, we don't want that attention.
Not mentioning that, you know, this was formerly the murder castle where, you know, yeah, just the names of the victims.
Yeah.
But then
exactly.
That would also draw undue attention to a negative aspect. And, you know, that's just the way it's going to be. But, all right. Well, I am going to go ahead and call it, brother. I'm sitting here getting droopy eyelids. I tried to keep myself awake last night so I could go to sleep early tonight to get up at, like I said, I've got to get up at like 2:30, 3 a.m. to get my ass northbound. What I've discovered, and I love this, most people don't have to be to work till 9. Well, several years ago, I took a job up in D.C. Typical afternoon, you can drive to D.C. in 2 hours, 2.5 hours. I figured, all right, I got to be there at 7:30. I'll leave here at 4 a.m. Yeah, I showed up at the job at 9, and the boss was going, dude, we start at 7:30. And I went, dude, did you know there's 4 million sons of bitches coming this way each morning? they don't know how to drive. Most of them have Virginia license plates, so, yeah, they don't know how to drive. I mean, you hit 4 and 5 lanes of traffic, and most of them are doing, like, 3 miles an hour. It's like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a simple concept to me. There's a sign on the side of the road that says speed limit 65, speed limit 70, whatever. We're all traveling in the same direction. It should be a fairly simple concept to understand that you can go 65 or 70. But why the hell have you got the one retard that should be in a helmet licking the windows and the back seat strapped in that's actually in the front seat driving at 45?
And it's 99% of the time a Prius. I hate that.
I'm conserving energy. I still think of it. Now, I drive a Dodge diesel. Trust me. You put one of those little earth green sons of bitches on my right-hand side where the exhaust comes out, and I've got to pass you because you're putting down the highway, I promise you, I will put out more smog on your car than you can shake a stick at. When I stomp that throttle down, that turbo winds up, and that diesel smoke rolls out, and I will laugh like a bitch afterwards.
How's that green working for you now, jackass?
And in closing, let's then we'll wrap it. And I just want to leave people with that whole bullshit concept of being green with a hybrid. The batteries in those things have to be replaced, and it's extremely, extremely expensive to do so. Well, there's only one place in the world that is capable of disposing of those batteries and recycling them. And it is not on our soil. So how do you think that these batteries, and I think they go out at like 40 or 60,000 miles is when they're supposed to be replaced. How do you think those batteries get to the middle of Europe on ships that use diesel? And it's extremely, extremely polluting to the environment of what those batteries do. So in driving your hybrid, and not saying just a Prius, driving a hybrid in general is extremely horrible for the environment in the long run. So just to let you know, you can look it up. It's not a conspiracy theory. This is actual true fact. You can just Google it. How bad are hybrid batteries for the environment? And it's a government site that will actually give you all the information about it. So just a little FYI.
Which, by the way, Terry just reminded me, actually in chat, her father is a retired over-the-road truck driver. He drives a Prius.
Don't
get me wrong. I love David to death. What an absolute sweetheart. This man's got a heart of gold, but he drives a Prius. I'm not sure what color it is. I want to say it's some form of blue, but I don't recall. But
it just reminds. Oh God, my being sick, my brain's not working that well. What the hell is the stand-up comedian with the puppets, with Peanut and Walter and Jeff Dunham?
You know what? Jeff Dunham.
So, yeah, Peanut always gives Jeff Dunham Jeff Dunham gives Jeff Dunham shit in Peanut form. that.
He does it in Peanut form?
No, Peanut.
Yeah, Peanut.
Yeah. In Peanut form, he gives himself shit for driving a blue Prius.
I hate when I give myself shit in Peanut form. The sound glitched perfectly when you said it. It glitched perfectly as you were getting to the end of the word. And I swear to God, it sounds like you said in Peanut form.
Yeah.
Well, I think I need to see an optometrist, and apparently I need to see a therapist.
And that's why your therapist needs to see a therapist.
And maybe an audiologist, I don't know.
Yeah, doing everything in penis form, that kind of tends to happen.
Yeah, well.
All right, so I want to say, Dennis, have a safe trip, man. Love you. And, give my best to your daughter and your son-in-law, and congratulate them for me and everything. That's absolutely awesome. So, have a safe trip. We'll miss you on Wednesday. Wednesday, Full Spectrum Radio. I'll keep you posted on Facebook what we're going to do format-wise. I'm going to go get some sleep myself and hopefully wake up and feel fine. This is just, it's not fun. So I'm going to go get hydrated and go, hit the sack. So anyway, yeah, have a safe trip. Hope everything goes smooth for you. I'll be jealous of shit on Wednesday, and I will let everybody know on Wednesday what the big secret that we can't talk about right now is. So thank you for listening, everybody. Thank you, Dennis. Again, love you. Do my best to your family when you get out there, and kiss my ass for what you're able to do. So,
yeah. Well, I'm sure I'll be able to get maybe a couple of pictures. I don't know. I may not be able to. But, you know, for those that didn't catch the beginning of the show, once again, I want to say thank you for your service to Electricians Mate First Class. Jonathan Woodward, who's my son-in-law, just signed another 6-year term with United States Navy. Very proud of you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us tonight. Hopefully we didn't offend you too much. I almost care, but that's irrelevant. Make sure to catch up with Matt and I through CPR Matt, CPR Dennis, both on Facebook and Twitter under those names. You can also catch up with us through Chicagoland Paranormal Researchers on Facebook or ChicagolandParanormalResearchers.com. Also, if you get the chance, September 6th, 7th, and 8th, come out to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania to the Sands and join us there. We'll be hanging out for ParaFest 2013 with about 60 of our closest friends. Well, okay, maybe about 50. We don't quite know them all. But something tells me by the time we're done, we'll know a damn good majority of them. But
yeah,
we definitely enjoyed having everybody hang out with us tonight. Even though we didn't have a guest, I hope we kept it entertaining for you on Into the Darkness.
Yes, and I will see you Wednesday on Full Spectrum. Same time, same place.
Same bat place. And same bat shit crazy host.
Minus one.
Just the host, no co-host. Well, I won't be the co-host.
Yeah.
But
yep, same bad shit, crazy host.
Play us out, my friend. Play us out.
We'll do that. And hey, Dennis, before you leave tomorrow or whatever, when you wake up, shoot me a message and just let me know what information you want and what I am able to say about Wednesday. And this will be coming straight from the horse's mouth. So, on what you're doing and how you got to do it, if that's even possible to release also.
The closest I can do, it'll be Wednesday morning. I can't divulge a time, but it'll be late Wednesday morning that I can actually tell you what's going on. So you'll catch that, but it's pretty damn exciting. It's definitely a once-in-a-lifetime thing, so I'm excited and stoked. But you guys will get to hear about it Wednesday night on Full Spectrum Radio.
Yes, you will. And we will see you there. Again, everybody, have a good night. And we'll see you soon.
Like I'm George Jones, smoke rolling out the window, and ice cold beer sitting in the console. Memory laid up in the headlights, it's got me reminiscing on them good times. I'm turning off a real life driving, that's right, I'm hitting easy street on mud tires. Back in the day, pa
Pop's home is a place to go. Load a truck up, hit the dirt road. Jump the barbed wire, spread the word. Light the bonfire and call the girls. King in the can and the Marlboro man. Jack and Jim were a few good men. Where you learn how to kiss and cuss and fight too. Better watch out for the boys in blue. And all this small town, he said, she said. Ain't it funny how rumors spread? Like I know something y'all don't know. Man, that talk is getting old. You better mind your business, man. Watch your mouth before I have to knock that loud mouth out. I'm tired of talking, man. Y'all ain't listening. Them old dirt roads is what y'all miss. I'm chillin' on a dirt road, laid back, swervin' like I'm George Jones. Smoke rollin' out the window, and ice cold beer sittin' in the console. Memory laid up in the headlights, it's got me reminiscing on the good times. I'm turning off a real life driving last ride. I'm hitting Easy Street on the tires. Back and think about them good old days, the way we were raising our southern ways. And we like cornbread and biscuits, and if it's broke around here, we fix it. I can take y'all where you need to go, down to my hood, back in them woods. We do it different around here, that's right, but we sure do it good, and we do it all night. So if you really want to know how it feels to get off the road, trucks and four wheels, jump on in, and man, tell your friends, we'll raise some hell with a blacktop in.
Chilling on the dirt road, laid back, swerving like I'm George Jones.